This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
بسم الله والحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله السلام عليكم ورحمة الله تعالى وبركاته. This is Riyad Rozazi welcoming you to this new series Walking with the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. It's a series about the Prophet عليه السلام. Not only just the seerah, but learning more about him as a person, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So this is episode number 6. Already we've had 5 episodes that just basically introductions about Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We talked about the merits of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We talked about the last session last week, we talked about the birth of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Right, so we also described the Prophet Muhammad alayhi wasallam. I think it was in the session or episode number 2, where we described not only the character but the physical appearance of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So today, inshallah ta'ala, we're going to resume our series, and I welcome you, brothers and sisters, those of you on Facebook and those of you on Instagram. Jazakum Allah khair for joining. May Allah Azza wa Jalla bless you. I hope you're staying safe and healthy, with a lot of countries and cities being gone into lockdown again. قدر الله وما شاء فعل. This is the qadr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Unfortunately, this is how it is. But we put our hope in Allah Azza wa Jalla, and we never despair from the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yes. It is definitely a roller coaster. Those of you who are in lockdown, cherish it, embrace it. What can you do? Embrace it, cherish it, cherish that time with the family, with your loved ones. Allah knows when, you guys will be back again into like spending more time together. So do enjoy and cherish that time. And ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to alleviate this pandemic upon us. So sisters and brothers, we spoke about the birth of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and we spoke about the very first person who breastfed, the wet nurse of the Prophet Muhammad. Her name was Thuwaybiyah, right? Thuwaybiyah, she was the slave of Abu Talib. Abu Lahab, in fact, Mawlat Abu Lahab, and she was the first one who actually breastfed, Prophet Muhammad alayhi salam. So, and then we talked about when he moved to live with Halima Sa'diya from Banu Sa'd, as it was the norms at the time or the culture of the newly born, they would take them into the outskirts of Mecca, and they would, grow up there and then come back to Mecca eventually. So Prophet Muhammad was taken by Halima, right? And he lived with her for a couple of years, and then she took him to his mother and then asked that she would take him back. And then she took him back, radiallahu anha, to stay with her for another couple of years. There was an incident that happened, and that incident was the opening of the breast of the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam. And we will talk about that inshaAllah ta'ala, the opening of his breast by Jibril alayhi salam. And he was with his brother from Rada'a, his brother from breastfeeding, he saw that a man came, and then he took Prophet Muhammad and actually did open up his breast. In fact, when Prophet Muhammad, grew up, you can still see, as when he was described, you can still see the stitches, the signs of the stitches not as our stitching today, but you can see the sign of that breast being open. So he took out his heart and then he cleaned it with water of Zamzam, right? Cleaned it with water of Zamzam, and then he put it back into his breast, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So his heart is clean from any maladies of the heart, you know, any sicknesses of the heart, such as envy and holding grudges and all those diseases of the heart. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, his heart has been cleansed from all those. Alayhi salatu wasalam. His brother, you know, he ran to his mother, in fact, you know, to tell her, Ummi, you know, something happened. I think my brother has been possessed. They thought that his brother has been possessed. And then she came to see him, and Prophet Muhammad was awake, alayhi salatu wasalam. And then she got scared, and then she took him back to his mother, Amina. And Amina, she was surprised as to why, you know, Halima, who was adamant into keeping Prophet Muhammad, السلام, you know, and then all of a sudden she brought him back, and then she didn't tell his mother about what had happened to him, sallallahu alayhi wasallam. But, you know, he lived with his mother, Amina, until he was 4 years old. I mean, from 4 years old until he was 6 years old. From 4 years old until he was six. So from birth until 4 years old, just so you know the sequence, right, of the life of the Prophet Muhammad, alayhi salatu wasalam, from birth until 4 years old, he was with Halima radiallahu, Halima radiallahu anha. And then from 4 to 6, he was with Amina, his mother. And then from 6 to 8 years old, he lived with his grandfather, Abdul Muttalib. Abdul Muttalib. So when his mother took him to Medina, it was called Yathrib, because his father, Abdullah, was from Medina. He was from Yathrib. So he passed away there. He died there, and his grave was there. So his mother took him to visit his, you know, his uncles in Medina. And then on the way back, in a mantiqa, in an area called Al-Abwa, she passed away. You know, who passed away? Amina. She died. And then, and how old was the Prophet? He was 6 years old. And then who was with the Prophet Muhammad and Amina? It was his other maid, Ummu Ayman. You know, Ummu Ayman, her name was, she was with Prophet Muhammad, and she was the one who buried, you know, his mother, Amina. And Prophet Muhammad was 6 years old, so he noticed, and he witnessed, not noticed, he witnessed the death of his mother and her burial, sallallahu alayhi wasallam. In fact, Prophet Muhammad, and this story is in Sahih Muslim. The story I'm going to mention now is in Sahih Muslim. It's very, very interesting story, because Prophet Muhammad was traveling one day, you know, coming back from he's going for his trip to Mecca, and then he passed by this grave, an old grave. So he stopped with the Sahaba. He stopped, and then he went to that grave, and then he wanted to make some du'a, and then all of a sudden Prophet Muhammad started, you know, weeping, started crying. And the Sahaba, they did not know why he was crying. So they waited for him until he came back. And then they said, Ya Rasulullah, you went to that grave and then all of a sudden you started crying. What happened? He said, that was the grave of my mother. That was my mother's grave. I came to pay respect and I wanted to seek istighfar for her. I wanted to pray for her. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed to me that I should not, because she died as a non-believer. She died as a non-believer, so I was not allowed to make dua for her. I was not allowed to make istighfar for her, kind of. And the Prophet Muhammad, out of his mercy, he started crying, you know, because he was not able to make that dua for his mother after she died. I mean, we don't want to get too much into, you know, were his parents Muslims, non-Muslims, are they going to go to Jannah, not Jannah? You know, we don't get involved with you know, these types of things, because even the ulama, they try to, you know, not get involved and talk about these matters, because we don't have anything authentic in this regard, other than Prophet Muhammad, you know, he wanted to make dua for his mother, but he wasn't able to because she died in a state of non-belief, you know. So, you know, whether for us to say they go into hellfire or not hellfire, we should say Allahu Ta'ala A'lam. Allahu Ta'ala A'lam. Allah knows best, subhanahu wa ta'ala. Right? So, but imagine Prophet Muhammad, you know, he has a dua, as he said, that all the prophets have been given du'as. All the prophets have been given each a dua. And all the prophets have utilized their du'as, all of them. You know, each prophet, Allah Azza wa Jalla has given him a dua which is granted. Just make that dua, Allah will answer it. You know, and he said that all the other prophets have utilized their du'as except Prophet Muhammad. He has stored it to be used in the Day of Judgment as an intercession for his ummah. That dua that he had, he could have used it for his mother who died in a state of non-belief. Yet he chose to use it for his ummah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So that was in a nutshell, that sequence between the birth of the Prophet Muhammad until he was 8 years old. So as he was 8 years old, as I mentioned, he lived with his grandfather, Abdul Muttalib. And Abdul Muttalib, he was from the elite of Mecca. He was from the elite of Mecca, and he used to make Prophet Muhammad sit next to him whenever he had a meeting with the elite of Quraysh, of Mecca. He would, have Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sit next to him. Allahumma salli wa sallim ala nabiyyina Muhammad. And Prophet Muhammad wouldn't be going out there and playing with kids. He would just sit and listen to the elders talking and discussing things. Inna ibn hada yakunu lahu sha'nun azim. He says that my son will have a big sha'n. In Urdu they say zishan. Zishan, what does zishan mean? It means the sha'n. Somebody with high regard. Sha'n, sha'n. So he said that the Prophet will have sha'n. This man, this boy, he will have sha'n, great sha'n. Until Abdul Muttalib died. So his mother died. His father died, and his father died when, in fact, Prophet Muhammad was, he wasn't even born yet. He was in the womb of his mother. And then his grandfather died. Imagine, in such young age, he needs that hanan, he needs that love and that compassion. His mother died, his father, he didn't even get to see him. And now his grandfather, who was acting as his dad, also dies. But yet, he never lost that mercy. He never lost that compassion, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He was so kind to kids, to orphans, because he was an orphan. So much so that Prophet Muhammad used to say, me and whoever sponsors an orphan, those who take care of orphans, me and one who adopts an orphan are like this in Jannah. Imagine, like this in Jannah. How far can these two be? Or how close can these two fingers be, right? You see how close they are? They can't be that far because this is how you will be with Prophet Muhammad in Jannah. If you were to, those who were to adopt an orphan. Because Prophet Muhammad was an orphan, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He had so much mercy towards kids, the story of Umair, that little boy, Umair, who was playing with the bird, and he lost his bird, and his bird died, and he was sad and crying, and Prophet Muhammad went to him trying to, comfort him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Another man by the name of Zahir, young man, Prophet Muhammad came, he went to visit the Prophet, and Prophet Muhammad wasn't home, so he went into the market, and Prophet Muhammad went looking for him, and then he was shopping or whatnot. Prophet Muhammad came behind him and hugged him from behind. And that boy, he was miskin, like nobody cared about him. And then when somebody hugged him from behind, it's like playing with him. His name is Zahir, and he was looking like, who are you? Who's the one who's holding me? Who? And then he got a little bit angry, right, frustrated. But then he saw people smiling, and then when he saw people smiling, he realized, this must be Muhammad. He must be Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Yes, he was. And he was hugging him sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So he did not lose that hanan, that compassion and that love and that mercy. He moved to live with his uncle Abu Talib. And he lived with his uncle for quite a few years. So he lived with his uncle. And his uncle, يعني, he also had many kids, and we'll talk about his kids as well, you know. So it was a full house. And Prophet Muhammad was also, you know, living with them, sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And also his uncle's mother, I mean his uncle's wife, her name is Hala. She was so kind to Prophet Muhammad alayhi wasallam. So much so, this is how loyal Prophet Muhammad was, because they looked after him and they took care of him when they died. Because Abu Talib is the father of Ali, you know. So Prophet Muhammad didn't forget that. You know, he did not forget that. And then Ali radiallahu anhu, he lived with Prophet Muhammad alayhi wasallam. He brought him when he was a kid to live with the Prophet Muhammad alayhi wasallam. That's loyalty, alayhi salatu wasalam. You know, and also his grandfather's wife. I'm sorry, her name is Fatima. Fatima, not Hala. Fatima. Fatima, she embraced Islam. She embraced Islam and Prophet Muhammad saw some when she died. In fact, she died and she's buried in Medina. She was buried in Medina. And this is the mother of Ali radiallahu anha wardaha. You know, she died in Medina, and Prophet Muhammad, you know, she was buried in Al-Baqir, he came down, he went down to her, you know, to her grave, and then he put his cheek on that dirt where she was being laid, you know, to rest. Radiallahu anha wa ardaha. Allahumma salli wa sallim ala nabiyyina Muhammad. Allahumma salli wa sallim ala nabiyyina Muhammad. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told him, despite all that, he told him, أَلَمْ يَجِدْكَ يَتِيمًا فَآوَان. He was yatim. He was orphan. فَآوَى. But he found ma'wa. He found an abode. He found a place, you know, that would hold him. A place of comfort. فَآوَى. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who took care of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. He lived with Abu Talib from 8 years old until 25 years old. Right? So from 8 years old until 25 years old, sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So he was living, you know, with his uncle, with his cousins, Aqil, Ja'far. You know, he had 10 kids. You know, Aqil and Ja'far, these are his cousins. Hamza, right? The cousins of the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam. So he's 8 years old and he goes to his uncle and he says, uncle, I want to work. Uncle, I want to work. Brothers and sisters, are you following up with me so far? Because I'm taking you into these are like a sequence of events that happened in the life of the Prophet Muhammad, because I want to take you up to his house. And then we will enter his house and describe his house and then spend a day with Prophet Muhammad. But for now, we're still talking about, you know, the childhood of Prophet Muhammad. I want to talk about his childhood until about the time when they will build, you know, the Kaaba, and then, you know, the story of the Mecca and what would happen in Mecca. And then once we move to Medina, we will spend some time with the Prophet Muhammad in Medina, you know, in his house. But now, are you following up with me so far? You know, those of you on Instagram, those of you on Facebook, are you with me so far? You know, Prophet Muhammad is 8 years old, and then he goes to his uncle Abu Talib, and he says, I want to work. I want to work. Okay? Tayyib, Zakum Allah khair. Hayallah, Ummu al-Baneen, and Hayallah, Abu Ayyash. Hello, marhaba. Hello, marhaba. So he goes to Abu Talib. I want to work. So Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam started his very first job. And that first job, my brothers and sisters, was actually the job of all the prophets. All right? All the prophets, they had to work, you know, and they had to, you know, that job, basically. What is the job? The job is a shepherd. He had to be a shepherd. So he was a shepherd from 8 years old until 15 years old. From 8 years old until 15 years old, he was a shepherd, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ra'i al-ghanam. Brothers and sisters, what did he learn by being a shepherd? Remember, Musa was a shepherd as well, right? Musa, Isa was a shepherd. Noah, all the prophets, they had to work as shepherds. So what do you learn by being a shepherd? All right, come on. Instagram, Facebook. What do you learn by being a shepherd? What do you learn by being a shepherd? Why Prophet Muhammad chose to work as a shepherd first? What do you learn when you are, well, you guys are not shepherds, huh? But you should know at least something, right? Leadership. Leading, how to lead, okay? Leadership. Discipline, tayyib. Business. You learn business? Okay, you learn business. What else do you learn by being a shepherd? راعي الغنم ماذا يعلمك؟ ماذا تتعلم من راعي الغنم؟ Look after the flock. Patience. Yes, patience. Deal with all kinds of behavior and keep them together. Yes. You know, listen, shepherd, you know, and this is again about the cattle. The cattle as a, you know, like, you know, the sheeps are different than, subhanAllah, sheeps are different than camels. Sheeps are different than cows. Sheeps are different animals. They are the hardest to manage. They are the hardest to keep together. Unlike camels. Unlike cows. Sheeps are the hardest, you know, or you know, to keep together. So Prophet Muhammad, he learned that skill. He learned that skill of keeping, you know, the cattle together. Right, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This is why he, one of the skills he learned, you know, like you said, leadership, protection, patience, al-hilm, you know, as well, not just patience, perseverance, how to keep them together, how to lead them. So he learned all these skills, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And then until he was 15 years old. And then he went to his uncle Abu Talib. And then he says, I want to change my job. Right? I want to change my job. What do you want to do? Take me with you. His father was a businessman. Remember that, you know, the Quraysh, they were traders. They were businessmen. They were traders. So he asked his uncle to join him in his business, you know, for trade. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So he joined his uncle in business. And he started being a businessman from 15 years old until 35 years old. 20 years working as a businessman in trade. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So he started working with his uncle. This is, subhanAllah, brothers, you know, Allah, he's preparing him to be a prophet. This is a divine preparation. It's a divine preparation because he will have a mission. And that mission is to spread this deen all over the world. You know. So remember when we talked about the environment before the coming of the Prophet Muhammad. We talked about that environment, the world before the coming of the Prophet. We talked about Rome, Persia. We talked about the Arabs. We talked about Yemen. We talked about Abyssinia, right? So we talked about all this, right? And then you see what the Prophet had to deal with, the Jahiliya, the people, the Jahils, you know, that he had to deal with, people that used to bury their own daughters alive, whereby women had no rights whatsoever, you know, and they were regarded as even devils, wal-iyadu billah, in some faith. like the Romans and stuff and whatnot. So he had to deal with all this, right? He had to deal with all this, my brother. And not only that, but also, brothers and sisters, what would he learn by being a businessman? As I said, this is really a preparation, a divine preparation from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But a businessman is the one who actually, because he deals with people, dealing with people. As he deals with people, he will learn about people. Alayhi salatu wassalam. Business people, business trade, you know, the traders, they deal a lot with people. So he will need to learn this because he will become a prophet. And he will, you know, have to, you know, as a prophet, of course, he will have to talk to all kinds of people and then to convey the message. So he will need to learn that skill, the skill of how to communicate with people. So he learned that by being, you know, in business, by being in trade. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah alayhi wa sallam. Allahumma salli wa sallam ala nabiyyina Muhammad. Is he ready to become a prophet now? Brothers and sisters, those of you on Instagram and Facebook. Is he ready to become a prophet? So far? Facebook, Instagram. So far, is Prophet Muhammad now ready to become a prophet? So he learned the skill being a shepherd. He learned the skills of being in trade and business. But is he ready now? Some of you are saying yes. Some of you are saying yes. And let me hear from Facebook. Some of you are saying yes, but let me hear from Facebook. No, he is not ready, in fact. Not yet. Not yet. Up till now, he's not ready. He will need to do something before becoming a prophet. What does he need to do before becoming a prophet? There's something that has to happen in his life before becoming a prophet. What is that thing? Yes, what is that thing now? Tell me, what is that thing that he needs to do before becoming a prophet? Revelation, but what is that? Get married, Yashmin. Yes, yes, Yashmin. He will have to get married. He will need to get married. So how old is he now? He's about 22, 23 years old. Right? He's about 23, 22 years old. So he's been working with his uncle, but only local trade with Abu Talib. Abu Talib does not travel much. Right, does not travel much, so he needs, you know, so he's just local trade basically, right? Until he was 22, 23 years old. He told his uncle that I wanted to actually do more trade, I want to travel. So his uncle Abu Talib talked to him about a woman by the name of Khadija. Khadija, she was a very, very bright, rich, intellectual woman, very bright. She got married twice, and her husband's died, and then she inherited a lot of money, right? And she needed also a man in her life to take care of her business, to take care of her trade, you know, because you know she with trade at the time it's like male dominant field. And because she was a woman, yeah, she had businesses, she had all the properties and whatnot, but she wanted someone, you know, a man who can take care of her trade. So Prophet Muhammad, he did not mind working for the woman. Huh? He did not mind working for the woman, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That woman was 40 years old, but at the time she was about 38. You know, Prophet Muhammad was about 22, 23, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So she hired him. She heard about him and then she hired him, you know, in the spot she hired him. And then she wanted to test him. So she wanted to test him, radiallahu anhu wa radha, on a small trip, just to see how trustworthy he is and how skillful or smart he is. So she trusted him, or she entrusted him with a trip, a small trip, you know, not far. And then she, you know, just to see how he would do. And then she sent with him her maid, Maysara. His name is Maysara. And she says, watch him. See how he behaves. So on the in the trip, during the trip, Maysara, he noticed that Prophet Muhammad, first and foremost, he does not prostrate to any idol. He noticed that Prophet Muhammad does not make sujood to any idol, number one. Number two, he does not swear by the name of any idol. If he was to swear, he would swear by Allah. He does not swear by Wallat, Wal-Uzza, like they used to do, you know, like Quraysh, the Arabs used to do, you know, the name of some idols, Lat Wal-Uzza. He wouldn't swear by them. He noticed he wouldn't lie, he would not cheat, that he was indeed, you know, trustworthy in his dealings with people, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So she became more impressed. She became more impressed with Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So she sent him on a bigger trip. She sent him on a farther, you know, bigger trip, and that trip was to Asham, yani Syria at the time, Asham. Syria, Jordan, Jordan, and whatnot was to call, you know, was called Asham. Asham. So when the Prophet Muhammad السلام, took the undertook that trip to Asham, they took some merchandise. Before reaching Asham, Prophet Muhammad already sold his merchandise. Right? He sold it. He went to Asham, bought merchandise, sold it again before coming. So he made profit twice. Alayhi salatu wassalam. Not only he made profit once, he made profit twice. Alayhi salatu wassalam. So she became even more impressed with his skills. Alayhi salatu wassalam. Sallallahu alayhi wasallam. You know. Also, Maysara, he noticed during the trip that there was a cloud following Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Ajib. You know, it's a sun, you know, the desert, right? Very hot. But there was a cloud following Prophet Muhammad and shading him. He wasn't even a prophet yet. This is just a man. You know, he's 23 years old or 24 years old, right? He's working. So a cloud was shading him and following him through, alayhi salatu wassalam, right? So she was really impressed. Here is Khadija with her friend Nafisa. She had a friend by the name of Nafisa. Nafisa bint al-Munabbih. They were talking, and then Nafisa asked, do you like him? You know, do you like him? Do you like Muhammad? She was 40 years old now, you know, Khadija was so 40. Do you like him? He's a good man. Is he, you know, trustworthy? And she says, yes, he's brilliant, smart, trustworthy. Yes, I like him. Yeah, I like him. Would you like to marry him? But Nafisa, she's smart. But Khadija, she's smart too. Khadija said, sure. Would you like me to talk to him? Would you like me to talk to him? Khadija said, sure. So Nafisa said, I'll let you know. Right? Let me talk to him and let you know. So Nafisa, she went to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then she goes, ya Muhammad, هل تزوجت? Are you married? The Prophet said, yeah, no. She says, why? He said, and who's going to marry me? وانا فقير, and I'm a poor man. Who's going to marry me? And yeah, he was a poor man, but he was in trade, but he was not as rich as Khadija. He says, who's going to marry me? I'm a poor man. She said, Khadija, Khadija, she can marry you. Would you like to marry her? And then Prophet Muhammad says, would she marry a man like me? Would she accept to marry a man like me? I'm a man, a miskeen. Yani, would she like to marry a man like me? Nafisa said, let me ask her. Women, Women, ajib. This world of women is ajib. She just came from Khadija. She just told Khadija, I'm going to go and ask Muhammad, alayhi salatu wasalam. And now that Prophet Muhammad said, yes, I would marry her, Nafisa said, well, let me ask Khadija. But that was smart. I like that. I like that. That was smart. Yeah, to keep the izzah of the woman, right? To keep the izzah, the honor of the woman. I'm not, she's not the one who's sending me, so let me go back and ask her if she accepts to marry you, right? And does she come back right away? No, she does not come back right away to Prophet Muhammad. She came back a couple days later. in some cultures, when you speak to the dad, like you call the, like, you know, I was told about this here in Canada, in the US, maybe in the UK, but in some cultures, you call the dad, and the dad knows, right? The dad knows that you're going to call him, asking for his daughter, you know, for marriage. So you call him on the phone. In that culture, the first time, the dad has to hang up on you. Why? I don't know. You call him, salam alaikum, alaikum salam. I'm so and so. I'm calling you in regard to with your daughter, you know, for marriage. He would hang up on you. And then you have to call again. Maybe it's going to be a missed call, but you got to call back again and again and again, you know, because he wants you to suffer before he gives you his daughter. Oh boy, you suffer before, you suffer during, and you suffer after. Astaghfirullah al-Azim. Oh boy. So he wants you to really suffer. So you suffer before, in the middle, and at the end. Your marriage is so suffering. So, Ajib. So she said, she said, no, I'm just joking, right? I'm just joking, you guys. So she said, let me ask her. And then she came back a couple of days later. You know, she came back a couple of days later, and she says, Khadija accepted to marry you. Allahu Akbar. How old was the Prophet? In most narrations, they said he was 25, and Khadija was 40. This is in most narrations. But there are some narrations that say that he was actually older than 25. There are some narrations that say that Prophet Muhammad was older than 25 years old when he married Khadija radiallahu anha wa ardaha. But again, the majority of the historians and the writers, they say that Prophet Muhammad alayhi wasalam was 25 and she was 40 years old. Sallallahu alayhi wasalam. Alayhi salatu wasalam. And my brothers and sisters, this was the greatest love story of all time. The greatest love story of all time, the story of the marriage of Prophet Muhammad and Khadija. They're talking about Romeo and Juliet and Qais and Layla, you know, love stories, right, and whatnot. But actually, the really, really the greatest love story of all time is the story of Prophet Muhammad and Khadija. He had so much love for her. So much, not just, you know, when they were married, but also after the death of Khadija, radiallahu anha wa ardaha. After the death of Khadija. So much love and so much loyalty for that woman, sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So much so, when he came back to Mecca years later, after he went to Medina, went to Mecca, right? In the Fath of Mecca, in the conquest of Mecca, he had no place to stay. People were asking him, come, Ya Rasulullah, stay with us. He said, no, mount me a tent by the grave of Khadija. Allahu Akbar. They mounted him, a tent by the grave of Khadija. And that's where he resided, you know, when he went back to Mecca and conquered Mecca, sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Mount me a tent by the grave of Khadija. This was, we'll talk about this. We'll talk about the love that he had for that amazing, amazing woman, radiallahu anha wa ardaha. They lived together for 15 years. How long they lived together for? 15 years. 25. When he was 40, she was with him. This is when he will become a prophet, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. 15 years and 10 years. Altogether, 25 years together. Imagine. 15 years in Mecca and 10 years. 15 before the Bi'tha and 10 years after the Bi'tha. Ya'ni, they lived together for 25 years. She lived with him 15 years before the Bi'tha of the Prophet, before he became a prophet for 15 years. They were together, right? And 10 years after he became a prophet. So altogether, they lived together for 25 years. And again, the 25 years filled with love and serenity. Filled with love and harmony. Filled with love and harmony. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allahumma salli wa sallim ala nabiyyina Muhammad. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed them with 6 kids, 4 girls and 2 boys. What a beautiful fruit, a beautiful gift from Khadija. He did not marry anyone else when he was married to her. He did not. He only remained married to Khadija radiallahu anha wardaha, right? He did not marry anyone else. And Allah Azza wa Jal blessed them with 6 kids, 4 girls and 2 boys. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allahumma salli wa sallam ala Nabiyyina Muhammad. Allahumma salli wa sallam. Who went to ask and who went to do the khitbah? It was his uncle, Abu Talib. They went and they offered, you know, some sheep and some gold to Khadija radiallahu anha wa ardaha. Although she was, you know, wealthier than him, but Prophet Muhammad came from a very high profile family, from an elite family as well. And although she was wealthier than him, although she used to, he used to work for her, but Prophet Muhammad was the one who's responsible about the household, alayhi salatu wasalam. He was the one responsible about the household, not Khadija, because he made money from the trade. He made money from the trade, he made money from business, and from that money, he took care of his household, sallallahu alayhi wasalam. How was the life with Khadija? How happy she was living with this man. What are some of the love stories that we can hear about Khadija and Prophet Muhammad? Do you brothers and sisters know about the 4 A's of a happy wife? Do you know about the 4 A's of a happy wife? Do you want to know about the 4 A's of a happy wife? There's something called the 4 A's of a happy wife. You people know about the 4 A's of a happy wife? Do you want to know, brothers and sisters, those of you on Facebook and those of you on Instagram? You want to know? Because I want to tell you about the 4 A's of a happy wife to make your wife happy, number one. And number two, I want to talk about Khadija and Prophet Muhammad and their love story. Love story. Love story. The greatest love story of all time. The greatest love story of all time. Absolutely cliffhanger. Absolutely a cliffhanger. Inshallah ta'ala, tomorrow we will talk about Prophet Muhammad and Khadija. We will talk about the 4 A's of a happy wife. And then we'll carry on talking about Prophet Muhammad, alayhi wasalam, you know, and up to, you know, his prophecy, alayhi salatu wasalam. You know, now he is 25. What will happen between 25 and 40? Between 25 and 40, because 40 is, that's when he will receive his first revelation. What's going to happen in that period between 25 and 40? We will talk about that tomorrow, inshallah ta'ala. Brothers and sisters, jazakum Allah khair. May Allah bless you. May Allah reward you. thank you all for joining. Those of you on Instagram, thank you for joining. Those of you on Facebook, Jazakum Allah khair for joining. May Allah reward you. May Allah bless you. And I hope to see you tomorrow, inshallah ta'ala. Those of you who've come in late, like Mu'nisa, late comer, you can always, inshallah ta'ala, go back and watch the series. It's on Facebook, on Instagram, and on YouTube as well. On YouTube as well, inshallah ta'ala. You can go back and watch the series, inshallah ta'ala, if you have come in late and missed any action. There's six, this is episode number six. I really strongly, you know, advise you to go back and watch them if you have not watched the previous five, you know, episodes, so that you can, you know, catch up with us, inshallah ta'ala. Again, thank you so much for joining. Jazakumullah khair. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Assalamu alaikum. Instagram. Assalamu alaikum, Facebook. Take care. And